Oh, yeah. Away we go on the Victory Monday edition. Mr. Relevant, Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices. On call, that's our studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee.
Hunter,
what?
Let's just start this whole show. We don't even need Strofe on camera.
Yeah, no, we just need to see Will. Will can't hear us, but for our audio audience. Will lost the bet, obviously. Packers win 28-21. So Will is now wearing my cheese head, my custom cheese head. But he didn't figure out his headphone situation that I brought to his attention earlier.
Just put them around the back of your head.
Hello?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. We can always hear you, Will.
I can hear you now.
Okay, that's good.
It's pretty. Maybe I should take it off for the betterment of the show. I can't hear.
No, you've been flirting with a double cheesehead day.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have not worn it at all today.
I'm wearing it right now. So it matters.
So what's going to happen here is if I see that thing come off your head once during the show today, we're doing it again on Wednesday.
Okay.
Because this morning when you were sitting at your desk, every time I came by you, it was not on your head.
Because I think you have lice or something, and it really makes my head itch. Yeah. Something's wrong.
I haven't worn it in like a year.
Exactly.
Lice and it's just been
living in there.
Lice don't live that long. Amazing. Well, Will at least attempting to be a good sport as the Packers roll at Lambeau Field last night, a 28-21
victory.
He's
been the worst sport. To be frank. Awful sport. Bad sport.
He's trying to pull the sympathy card by making us feel bad for him because his team lost. What's wrong?
Anytime you see three sheriffs walking through, it stops your attention.
Damn it! We've gone like a month without Joshy getting distracted, and it happens on a day like today. All right, let's get into it. Packers win 28-21 over the Chicago Bears in what was a fun game. I mean, all things considered, that was a really good football game at Lambeau Field yesterday. Couple of big takeaways. Number one, Matt LaFleur gets up for games against guys he has either been out-coached by, obviously divisional games, or has been disrespected by. And Ben Johnson disrespected him at his introductory press conference, and despite everybody playing it down this year, it's very evident that Matt LaFleur does not like Ben Johnson. The post-game handshake should tell you everything you need to know. That was the fastest handshake in the history of handshakes. In fact, I don't even know if it qualifies as a handshake because I don't think the hand was able to shake. Yeah. We've got the video playing right now from Fox, and it's literally a quick, they grab hands and keep moving. So LaFleur definitely felt disrespected by Ben Johnson.
I hate to say things like this, but Matt LaFleur alpha'd Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson wanted more, and he didn't get it. He wanted more from Matt LaFleur, and Matt LaFleur just kept it moving.
We'll see him in 2 weeks, he said. See him in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So that was good. So that's obviously a takeaway that Matt LaFleur brought a really solid game plan. He would have liked to see a little bit more of the offense in the second half. But all things considered, I thought Josh Jacobs had a really good day. I thought Jordan Love had an awesome day again. I've said it, I feel, every week for the last month now. But like, this Toyota-thon shtick is real with Jordan Love. The dude is playing unbelievable football at the most crucial times since he's taken over as the starter. And in a big-time first-place divisional matchup in the month of December, Jordan Love was awesome. His long ball was on point. A couple of big-time throws to Christian Watson and the cornerback, Bo Melton, who's a wide receiver again, apparently. I thought he was really, really good. Love was as well, as was Jacobs, and I thought the offense played well. Defensively, it was kind of a bend-don't-break mentality. Keyshawn Nixon comes up with the game-sealing interception off Caleb Williams. And I mean, every time Caleb threw, and I'd be interested to hear Will's Bears fan perspective of this, but it seemed to be out of play action because they don't trust him to just stand in the pocket and deliver. And I get mobility as something that makes him what makes him him, but all of the stuff is out of play action, which is fine, but I guess I didn't really see him stand in the pocket very much last night, which granted, I haven't watched a ton of Caleb Williams since he's taken over as the Bears quarterback, but I guess I didn't realize it was to that level.
From somebody who watched him in college, as we all did, because his team was pretty good,
well, yeah,
it doesn't look like he's developed at all. It looks like he's very much the same guy. He wants to escape the pocket. He wants to throw on the run. He wants to he doesn't throw in rhythm, or when he does, it's extremely rare. Ben Johnson did everything he could to maximize what Caleb Williams offers against a defense like the Packers. And what you saw was an embarrassingly low passing percentage, completion percentage, and probably three rather remarkable catches. He can do the excellent better than most guys. Uh-huh. The throwing on the run, tight window, that stuff. But that doesn't work in the NFL.
Not to the level it did.
He needs to be able to run Ben Johnson's offense at least as good as Jared Goff, and right now he can't. And that, to me, is the reason the Packers came out on top of this game.
I'm sorry. I have my tweet notifications on for you.
Yes.
Since the show has been live, have you tweeted simply the words Jordan Love?
Yes. Yes, I have. Uh-huh. Because every time I see him end up on the top of the expected points added list, and then this one was putting in also the PFF grades, I've been pushing Jordan Love for the MVP for weeks.
You have certainly
pre-Toyotathon.
I would say right around
no,
then.
No, pre-Toyotathon.
Dude, I don't think after the Eagles game you were like, yep, that's the MVP.
And
Toyotathon started 5 days after the Eagles game.
I said it prior to that. Thank you very much. And I've been saying it for a while.
I'm just going to point out you've gotten much louder since definitely after the Eagles game.
Oh, you mean when a guy throws four touchdown passes, I'm probably going to be louder about it? Of course. Welcome. But he's been that good all season long.
He's been really good.
Back to the Twitter usage, though. If Josh is just tweeting out Jordan Love and nothing else of substance with it, is this getting into the way that Strofe tweets during games territory?
It's not because, and this is very important. I want everyone to listen clearly.
Oh boy,
it's not because the tweet that I'm quote tweeting tells the story. This is a little bit of literature books. They don't always tell you exactly what's happening. You're supposed to infer, and that's what I'm doing. I'm asking the reader, the MIA, you guys in this room with me, to. When I say Jordan Love, and then you look and it's top right of the chart, and he's got the highest EPA and one of the best grades in all the NFL, that's for you to say, he's talking MVP, ain't he? That's what I want. And that's what I'm getting out of it.
I didn't expect 10 minutes into the show for me to be closer to Will than I am you.
Well.
You're irritating today.
What do you mean?
I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. Like, MVP odds have shifted again. Jordan Love in third place, plus 900. Stafford's still the favorite. Drake May right in between them at plus 200.
Remember when I said you could count Dak Prescott out?
Yeah, you nailed that. He's up to plus 8,000.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I was right. And look, I thought Jordan Love was spectacular again yesterday.
Yes.
And I feel like it's now been, what, 3 or 4 weeks in a row where I've come here on the day after a game and gone, I thought Jordan Love was spectacular, but he really has consistently been spectacular.
Best player on the field.
There are so many throws he's made this year, and you saw a couple of them last night, right? The Christian Watson big-time touchdown, the Bo Melton big-time touchdown, a couple of other throws that weren't touchdowns, but just big-time throws that only are made by elite quarterbacks. I think back to... Right after the Ravens won the Super Bowl, I think this was in like 2012, 2013, and the big conversation was...
Is Flacco elite?
Is Joe Flacco elite?
Uh-huh.
I think we have to shift the question, but I think the question's easier to answer than it was back then.
Yes.
The question is Jordan Love elite?
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to think that answer is very much a yes.
He is bare minimum top five QB in the NFL. This season, he's been... 1, 2, or 3, depending on where they fall in terms of the stats, the grading, all of that. It's him, it's Matthew Stafford, and it's Drake May. They're playing the best this season. Now, do I think Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? I do not. This season, he's been playing better than and right in line with the top three guys in the NFL, and that's why I keep pushing the narrative of Jordan Love being an MVP, because it doesn't feel like he's in that conversation. And obviously, losing to the Browns, losing to the Panthers, and having a tie to the Cowboys sort of brings that down. Some of those happened on stages. It really impacted, I think, people's perception of the Packers. Jordan Love had one of his classic interceptions. The guy doesn't throw interceptions except for the worst interception you've seen thrown all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back and is nearly perfect the rest of the game, dialing up touchdowns. His passer rating from that point forward, I believe, was perfect, if not. So The reason is Jordan Love doesn't have the counting stats. He's not going to have a ton of touchdown passes. He's not going to have a ton of yardage just because of the way the Packers run their offense. Those numbers have seemed to rise in recent weeks, and he is getting the higher touchdown totals and the passing yardage totals. But the game is not evolved to the point where people understand like how important efficiency is and how important some of those expected points added, all that stuff matters. Baseball's there. The NBA is there. The NFL, you still need touchdowns and you still need low interceptions and a lot of passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time that we correct the conversation. We tell them, hey, yes, he's not leading the league in passing yards or passing touchdowns, but look at everything else.
Yeah, look at the accuracy.
Yes.
That's way up, right? You look at some of the deep balls. You made fun of me earlier in the season when I was like, I think this dude's gotten to another level with this deep ball. I think it was after the Washington game where he wasn't completing passes.
Yeah.
But he's putting them in only places his wide receivers could get them. And now you're seeing it come to fruition in December.
Yes.
He had several of them yesterday. He had a couple of those against Detroit last week. Like, his deep ball accuracy is so impressive. That throw to Bo Melton was just like a casual 50, 55, 60 yards in the air.
Who missed that, Will? Who was that safety that just, like, waved at it?
Brisker?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the... Jordan put a little too much air under it. His feet weren't set. It wasn't perfect, but it was a touchdown. He gave his guy a chance to win. And I think that's been the biggest thing we've seen from Jordan Love most recently is he's trusting his wide receivers to make plays on the ball and trusting them to, hey, you've got a one-on-one here. You either need to catch it or make sure it's incomplete. Bo Melton did it where he a very smart play to take that pass interference because it ended up actually being declined. So to me, that's the type of stuff that's changed. And also, we've seen the guys who he's trusting make the plays that he's asking them to. It's not like they're, you know, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, incredible individual effort guys. It's just giving them an opportunity. And a lot of times, Bo Melton, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks have gone and made those plays for him.
Yeah.
And that, to me, has been the biggest step forward. Because the deep ball has sort of always been there for Jordan Love. It's usually not perfect. It's sometimes a little behind him, whatever. But he's giving his guys a chance to make a play. He's not overthrowing it, which to me is the biggest thing because there was a while where it felt like Aaron Rodgers just could not connect mm-hmm. on deep throws. He was overthrowing everybody by about a step. And if you underthrow it, you have the potential for pass interference or your guy just making the play. And that's been what's happening a lot this year.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But I just think when it comes to Jordan Love, I think he's officially solidified himself as one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, which is a really exciting step. And again, I think it's something we've thought he's been capable of. The uh-huh. talent's been there since he took over as the starter in 2023. But it seems...
First year, we were touch and go.
Well, yeah, it was a total roller coaster. But I think towards the end of the year, yes. when he's going to Detroit and beating the Lions on Thanksgiving, when he's hosting the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, like there were moments where you go, holy crap.
This is a first year, and there's reasons why. Obviously, a first-year starter having a rough start and then figuring out to be expected. Then I felt like all last year we were waiting for where's Toyota-thon Jordan Love. He had the injuries, all that. And this year, it seems... Even though he's battled some injuries, and it's not like he's had a perfect bill of health, he has performed consistently.
That's the word right there, yes. right? I mean, we spent all offseason yes. using the word for the second year in a row. That's the word we're waiting to see from Jordan Love is consistency, and it feels like we finally graduated
and I think
to that level.
A large part of some of the inconsistencies were not only his fault.
Right, no, I agree.
I don't think he was put in the best position by his play caller on a few opportunities, and then I think just the injuries to guys like Tucker Kraft, and then the in-and-out nature of Christian Watson then coming back. And those things all – Jayden Reed not being there is certainly a factor to his efficiency not being as high as it is.
All right. I'd like on the video stream for us to direct our attention back to the control room because Will looks
solo
miserable.
Shot? Solo shot?
He looks miserable.
I'm having a bad day.
Why are you having a bad day?
My tire pressure's low. I slipped walking out to my car. I grabbed a veggie sandwich. My team lost.
Veggie sandwich was a tough one.
Just not having a good day.
How you feeling? Other than that, how you feel about your team?
Honestly, I've been saying this around the office today. I feel better about my team after yesterday than after the Eagles loss. Or win, I mean.
What? No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Such a liar.
That is.
We talked to you after they beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
You were on cloud nine.
Yeah, but then
you just went flashing your phone.
You just went on a 90-second soliloquy about how awful of a day you're having.
Yeah, and the Bears were like the last reason because of
it. Oh, okay.
But you guys said the Eagles suck, and then they played good with the Packers, so.
We never said they sucked.
No.
We said they're imploding.
We said they're imploding.
Okay.
Yep.
So they beat a team that's imploding, so that doesn't really count, does it?
Huh? Well, they lost to a team that's hitting their stride at the right time.
By?
A touchdown.
Yeah.
Covered the spread.
Yeah.
Covered the spread that you called disrespectful.
I'm okay with that.
And let's also acknowledge something here. The Packers overcame what the odds were stacked against them via the officials.
We will get to that.
Luke Musgrave caught it.
Yes, he did. The replay they showed in Lambeau Field on that one. Somebody's head on the sideline.
Yes. That was what we saw on TV.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. It is.
There was never a better angle shown.
Okay, same here. So we saw exactly what you saw on TV then. Okay, got it. So then we can all talk about this together.
Yeah.
So there was no evidence that he didn't catch that football.
No, and it's that weird gray area where the ball can contact the ground, but it can't be to establish control. I think Luke Musgrave had control the entire time. The ball just slightly moved after hitting the ground, as a body does. It's not like the ball dragged against the ground and then he pinned it.
Right.
His arm was under it the whole time. So, to me, that's a catch, and that should be a catch.
Keyshawn Nixon got choked and then called for a penalty?
Yeah, that helped him. Yeah, that was a big help.
Yeah. Sorry, Hunter, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that catch was kind of similar to another catch that happened in Lambeau that also got overturned.
I probably should have known that's what he was going to say.
Yeah.
I got bad
Dez
news.
Dez caught it.
Dez did not catch it.
No. Doesn't say it in the record books.
Just like Luke Musgrave didn't catch it.
Except in the press release that the NFL then sent out using it as an example of, yes, this would be a catch, but okay.
It's crazy that the catch thing is still happening. And I mean, Isaiah Likely caught a touchdown pass and then they told him he needed a third step.
Yep, saw that.
Just the inconsistency. And the thing is, they're trying to over explain what a catch is. It's sort of like the classic Supreme Court judgment on pornography. You know it when you see it. That's
one of your favorite references.
It's a great reference.
It's so
a great
good.
Reference. Because it's a legal standard. They cite it. It's like, and that's the thing that ends up happening is you slow it down, you slow the steps down. Like, if Luke Musgraves isn't a catch, then how the hell is Dontavian Wicks' touchdown a touchdown? And how is then, in that same situation, Isaiah Likely's touchdown not a touchdown if you're going to, like, there's no consistency.
Yeah, Matthew on YouTube follows up with a good point. He says, two questions. What is a catch and what is a hold?
Yeah.
As there was a moment, and I don't know if they did this one on TV, because I think it was during a commercial break where they did the slow-mo replay of Parsons getting held. Mm-hmm. You did get that on TV?
Yes.
Oh, that was a great moment in Lambeau. Everybody just boo, 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 when there's literally a hand in his face mask.
Yeah, I think the thing that Micah doesn't get the calls he should, it's a little bit of the Shaq rule and the Giannis, how those guys are just so good, so dominant, so big, and not that Micah's big, but he's so explosive that even when he's held, he ends up winning. And he doesn't do the flop and flail his arm thing. He just works through the hold and eventually ends up beating the guy. And that's the reason he doesn't get the calls he probably deserves. And every time I see one of those, I think of Hunter complaining about he's going to get held. They're not going to call it. He's not going to complain about it. And then it's going to affect games, which it's very true. It's the same thing you see with Giannis. It doesn't look like a foul because Giannis ends up getting to the rim still. Shaq did the same thing. And that's what Micah does. And he beat his guy eventually. It's just the hand around the throat slowed him down.
Jonathan ESPN Madison on YouTube says, Bears should hang a banner in 2025, two quality losses to the Packers. It's kind of how it feels. Like, it almost feels like there was a moral victory yesterday after all the smack talk Bears fans.
I saw lots of moral victory talk.
Yeah. Well, moral victory, you feel better than you did when they beat the Eagles? That's a moral victory, right?
Moral victory.
Yeah, okay.
I actually count moral victories more than real victories.
Yeah.
Oh, more than real victories.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wait, I thought the only stat that mattered was the scoreboard.
I said wins. I didn't say which type of wins.
Yeah.
Boom! Hunter? Moral How do you like wins. Me now?
Moral wins count.
Back to what Josh was saying about Micah. Like, my biggest fear for you, Strofe, and Josh is that you're going to be in a divisional round game taking on, whoever in that game, and the quarterback's going to have like a 30-yard just huge play on 3rd and 12, and Micah was clearly held, and they just don't call it. Because it sucks when it happens.
Fair, fair.
Yeah.
It's going, like, it's just, this isn't even because of the Cowboys connection. It's going to happen in a playoff game, and you're going to hate it. And if he does get the call, I'm going to lose my mind, because there were so many times he never got the call in big games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, talk about yesterday, right?
Yeah, I think the difference has been a lot of times is those calls that get missed, there's a lot of ball don't lie happening then later in the drive by somebody else on the defense. Somebody makes a play, a la Keyshawn Nixon, mm-hmm. where you got it wrong, and I have no problem like missing calls. It happens. But when it's so far stacked against, like, the Packers probably had 4 incorrect calls go against them in a way that really had a determining factor on the game.
It's so ridiculously blatant with Micah, though,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know. We've almost just kind of come to expect it this season.
Right.
Now.
And I mean, he also talked about it after the game. He's like, yeah, I'm a little bit shorter. So when they get their hands up around my neck and my face, it doesn't get called the same way it would if it was like, I mean, a lot of times he's just getting like wrapped up.
Yeah,
they just put the arm around him, and he just has to work through it.
Let's just go over some moral victories for the Bears fans, yeah. because I like taking victory laps. So moral victory one was the fact Micah Parsons only had 1 tackle.
Uh-huh.
Right. Bears fans viewed that as a giant win for them, despite losing the football game by 7
points. Also, if you watch back, J.J. Kingsley and Abari's yeah. sack was because Micah, as he was beating the guard like a drum and forcing Caleb up into the pocket, he also pushed the tackle that freed up Kingsley and Abari to have a free shot.
Mm-hmm.
That is the example we always talk about. Even if he's not making the play, he's affecting the game that is creating plays.
Another moral victory is the fact that they didn't lose in Chicago. They lost in Green Bay, and they get another crack at it in what now is 12 uh-huh. days.
Bad playing surface. I saw players slipping.
Yeah.
At some point, a team is going to figure out they don't have the right cleats in the winter.
Also, the Bears have been doing that all year, so that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, but you see it every week as the calendar turns from like November to December. They take it to the sideline, and somebody's getting their cleats worked on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Bears; it's their first time playing there this time of year.
I'm having a hard time looking at him in that cheese head.
I can't wait for this to be over.
I've looked at the
clock like 10 times.
I have a moral victory as well for the Bears fans. And this uh-huh. is also a little bit of a moral victory for me in a victory lap here. A lot of the Bears' bigger runs, especially in the second half, were when they were running at Micah Parsons and blocking him with a tight end.
That sounds like not a moral victory for the Bears.
He didn't disrupt
it
the running
game.
It
sounds like a moral victory for you.
I don't know. To me, it was up the middle, was it not?
There was a few. They were running like to hit that right or to their right side to the left side of the defense there.
But again, like, I don't have that big of a problem with this because
I know I was just
he's an elite pass rusher, right? That's how you eliminate them from a game.
We ain't paying him to make tackles in the run game.
I was
correct.
Okay, correct. Was just making a reference back to you guys yelling at me about it, and I was just
yeah. I mean his run.
Who's the Bears fan here?
Yeah, his run.
Hunter sounds as sad as Will.
His run defense grade is like good, and it has been all year.
I was literally just making a joke back to that, and that's
it. Very sad.
No,
I think he was taking a victory lap though.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a sad victory.
I think that was good.
We moral victory lapped a victory lapped.
The longest Bears run yesterday. Any guesses?
8
I read the
yards.
Comment.
11?
I've got 9.
Okay.
Manungai, 9 yard.
Yeah.
8 by Swift, 9 by Manungai, 6 by Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we obviously felt Devontae Wyatt's presence missed there.
Yeah, 138 yards on the ground for them yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to be fair, it took them, like, what, 32 carries to get there?
Nailed it, 32?
Yeah. So
they were bad in the first half.
Yeah, but all in all, a good win for the Packers. Got a little dicey there at the end. But
and a good loss for the Bears.
Keyshawn Nixon comes through at the end of the game. All right, we do this each and every day after games. Some stocks are trending up, some stocks are trending down, and we're going to change up how we're doing it today. I always say, Joshy, and I know you hate when I say this, but I'm going to say it. You know what I'm going to say.
I don't, because you have so many cliches you love to...
Self-awareness is the most important human quality.
It's either that or puzzles. I like puzzles.
Now, does the fact that an entire program of the show you do in the afternoon was built around your lack of self-awareness, has that changed your perception of that quote at
all?
What
do you mean?
The haircut fiasco?
Well, I don't have eyes in the back of my head.
Self-awareness!
That's not fair. That's an unfair shot, but you owe me an apology.
That was above, because that haircut was bad on the sides. It was bad on the front.
No, it was fine on the front.
No. Remember the patch over here he had to clean out on the side of your head?
True. True.
And let me tell you, when you look in a mirror and you turn your head slightly and you see skin where there's supposed to be hair, that should have been a dead giveaway.
So anyway, self-awareness, the most important human quality. And what we have realized doing this show together for years is that I'm the optimist. The glass is half full for me. For Joshy, well, probably more a pessimist. Glass half full. So I'm going to handle all the stock ups today. Joshy is going to handle all the stock downs today. I'm only talking positives. Joshy's only talking negatives. The day after the Packers beat the Chicago Bears by a final score of 28-21. Let's waste no more time and get into stock up, stock down.
Stock up.
Let's start with the quarterback, Jordan Love. I'm so impressed with what he's been able to do recently. I mentioned earlier the long ball and how that has evolved. The accuracy has taken a step up in 2025. Two big-time throws that led to scores. To Watson deep and to Bo Melton. That was the throw of the day by Love. The Bo Melton touchdown pass where he threw it 50, 60 yards in the air. He has taken a giant step. The consistency has taken a step. And I think you can start to look at Jordan Love and say, yeah, I think he's in that elite quarterback conversation for the NFL. And just to please Joshy, he's certainly in the MVP conversation for 2025. So for it feels like the sixth consecutive week or fifth consecutive week, the stock up goes to Jordan Love.
Stock down.
I'm going to start a stock down with a compliment. It's Rashawn Gary. And Rashawn Gary, when he's unblocked, is the most impactful player in the NFL. It's been weeks since he's made any sort of presence, since he's had an impact on a game in any real way. He, while chasing Caleb Williams to the edge, just gave up, stopped running. He has been a non-factor. He's been less valuable than Kingsley Enagbare. And if you look at how those two guys are paid, that should not be the case. In this game, he had, I believe, two more snaps, maybe three, than Enagbare. He has, despite what we thought was going to be his double-digit sack season we've been waiting for so long, since he burst out with, was it 7.5, he's been mostly a non-factor. He's not getting pressure. He's not beating his guy. He's not making impact on the run game. It's just he's getting one-on-ones and he's losing. He's losing one-on-ones also to tight ends, which is just can't be happening. When you got Micah creating as much disruption as he is able to do, and you're not benefiting from it at all, there needs to be some real questions asked on what playing time are you getting and how much should you be getting moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Stock up.
Let's go to a guy you referenced in there, Kingsley, J.J. Enagbare, who had the big-time sack at the end of the first half on Caleb Williams that didn't allow them to respond after the Packers went up by 11 going into the half. Obviously, the Packers got the ball back at the beginning of the third quarter, but Enagbare with a big-time sack and is pacing in terms of snap count the same level of Rashawn Gary, but he, frankly, is just the better football player than Rashawn Gary as it stands right this second. So Kingsley Enagbare, I think, for the second time in a couple of weeks, his stock is going up, four tackles and a sack for him
yesterday.
He
made the biggest play of the game that's not going to get remembered.
Yeah, that's true.
That third and one tackle on Manungai, who had proved he's not a bring him down just one guy type guy. I mean, he's like a bowling ball. That play forced the Bears into a situation they didn't want to be in, which ultimately led to the turnover.
27 seconds left. It's fourth and one at the Green Bay 14-yard line. So are you going for the end zone with 27 seconds left down by a score, or are you just trying to get the first down? Ben Johnson makes the aggressive decision to take a shot towards the end zone, and ultimately Keyshawn Nixon intercepts that on fourth down. But you're right, third down, no gain, as Manungai, who is a freaking bowling ball, man. That guy's a good running back, and Enagbari's all over him. Good point by you.
He reminds me of a little Doug Martin-ish. A little bit bigger, but the way they run and just sort of like run in, run through, and bounce off guys was, I was impressed with him. I've got another stuck down.
I think it was one more thing around that. Edrin Cooper, where they met in the hole, and it was just the loudest collision
did you
of
see...
all time. And there was like a piece of his helmet.
Yeah, Edrin Cooper's helmet paint flew off.
Yeah, I did not see that, but I heard the pop in row 58 where I was.
They did like the field level replay where it's just the game sound, and it was so loud.
Yeah.
It was a stock big time
down.
Hit.
Big time hit.
Stock down to Romeo Doubs. It wasn't long ago that I said I've had enough, and it seems like Jordan Love might have had enough of Romeo Doubs. He ran the second most routes of all pass catchers on the Packers. He had 2 targets, 0 receptions, 0 yards. There there was injuries involved here, but it seems like he's being phased out of the passing offense, and I think that's better for the Packers. Mm-hmm. I think if Wicks gets healthy, as Reed becomes a bigger factor and Golden gets healthy, the Packers are going to become more and more explosive. He had opportunities to make plays, and he didn't. He's running as many routes as anybody else out there, and he's making such a small impact that you have to be thinking, once things are, and hopefully in towards the playoff as guys get healthier, he's going to become a less and less factor.
Let's stay in that room.
Stock up.
I feel like this, again, is a guy that we've talked about each of the last few weeks because it finally feels like the Packers have their true number one receiver. It's Christian Watson. Another huge game for him yesterday. 2 touchdowns on 4 catches, a total of 89 yards. But something that is so evident with him, and Josh, we were talking about this off the air, he tore his ACL this year.
Yep, this calendar year.
He tore his ACL in January, 11 months ago, and he's faster than everybody. The yak, yards after the catch on that big touchdown for Christian Watson. He's just outrunning everybody down the field. And what he is capable of, he looks like he's bigger and stronger and faster than he was even before the ACL injury. And he's been able to stack a good games together now. So the stock is pointing up at a fast rate for Christian Watson, who I think we can finally say it. The Packers have a number one receiver, yes, and his name is Christian Watson. That's exciting.
Correct. Yeah. He's being featured in a way that an emergent wide receiver one would be. He needs to be on the field the most. He was. That's good. And he's making the plays. And I've said this before, and it sounds like a pejorative, but it's not. He's playing real wide receiver now. He's making plays. He's running routes. He's running out routes. And then he's also doing the I'll run right by you because I'm faster than you stuff, which brings a level that the Packers hadn't seen from him to this point. He's using his body well. He's using his size well. All those things have turned him into sort of the guy we all hoped he would have been when he was drafted. It just took 3.5 years to get here. But boy, am I glad they signed that extension and the Packers were proactive on it.
Boy,
because
they look smart now.
I thought there was really clear signs at the end of last year that he had taken a step. And then we've just seen it in a way that, I mean, nearly 22 miles per hour on that slant route. And he had a surgically repaired knee. For a guy who's had a lot of injuries that have kept him out a long time, it seems like he's sort of figured out what it takes for him to stay healthy and for him to be a contributor week in and week out.
What would it take for me to go 22 miles an hour?
Rockets in your shoes.
Being in a car.
Being pulled behind a car.
What about a bike? Did I get a bike going that fast?
No. Downhill.
Downhill with wind at your back.
All right, that's disrespectful. All right, one more for Joshy.
Stock down.
This one is to the officials. I thought the game was poorly officiated. I thought the calls went against the Packers in a really definable way, in a momentum-swinging way. Last week, there was 2 bad calls for each side. This week, it seemed like there was 4 bad calls, and they were all at the Packers' behest. They were all a disadvantage to the Packers. The catch thing, we talked about what is, what isn't. It's been like this for the better part of 2 decades at this point. The Keyshawn Nixon getting choked by Luther Burden. And
crazy.
And then him not throwing a punch, trying to get his arm off his throat, getting the flag on that, despite the official being right there. And then the incompletion ruling for a ball that never touched the ground. How that ended up as an incompletion is so far beyond me, because we all got caught up in like, oh, is there possession? Is it a catch? Is it a catch? And then you realize, wait, the ball never touches the ground. And then the ball touches the ground after Evan Williams shows the official, I have the ball. And they're like, yeah, actually, no, take it back.
Yeah, no.
Like, what? What do you think anybody said, hey, are we sure it touched the ground at any point?
No.
Because it seems like they moved past that point and just went, oh, it's incomplete.
Yep. Easier.
I thought they called a good game.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
I think if two of those calls go the other way, let's say the Musgrave and the Keyshawn Nixon one.
Then the stock is neutral or what?
No, the Packers win that game by 14 plus. 14, yeah. Yeah. Just because the way they... That Keyshawn penalty led
to
a touchdown.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah. And then the Musgrave catch, they're in field goal range at that point. So the least they're getting there is three.
Yeah, was that... Did Keyshawn get penalized for 30 yards on that drive?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the same drive, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Woofy. Woofy. All right, well, you got one, I hear?
Stock up.
Yeah, I'm stocking up off days. The Packers obviously utilized their extra off day before they played the Bears well, because I felt like they didn't really run out of juice at any point. So stock up off days for the Packers.
That defense was running out of juice.
Yeah, I know. As I started
They were
saying,
exhausted.
The only thing that ran out of gas that entire game was the Packers defense.
They could not stay off the field. I mean,
no, in a cool way, I'm just saying.
I haven't seen NFL professional football players in such exquisite shape look so tired.
Yeah.
Rashawn Gary, and this is not to what I said earlier, looked like he was going to puke when he came off.
Well, I mean, here, look at it. So back, let's go to the third quarter. So Packers open up with a 3-and-out. Then it's a 10-play drive for the Bears leading to a touchdown. The Packers' next drive is 4 plays, 63 yards and a touchdown. Chicago gets it back. 7-play drive that takes up 3 minutes. Packers, another 3-and-out. Then a 17-play drive that leads to a touchdown for the Bears.
They had 5 minutes of possession, and they started with the ball and scored a touchdown in the third quarter. Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts. That's why the defense was
And that's you're never going to complain about scoring. Explosives are how you win games. They're how the Packers did end up winning that game. But that second 3-and-out, I believe, was 3 pass plays. That really, and I mean, you can't predict that the defense is going to go on, have a 17-play touchdown drive that upcoming one, but that's probably a spot where you need to mix in a little more Josh Jacobs, give your guy a little bit more of a blow just because you did score so fast.
Yeah, I hear you on that. All right, that is stock up, stock down on this fine Monday, a victory Monday for the Green Bay Packers as they take down the Chicago Bears, bear down Chicago Bears, 28-21 at Lambeau Field yesterday. The Packers now in first place of the NFC North at 9-3-1. The Bears 9-4. And it's an interesting weekend this weekend for both of these teams as the division race continues to heat up, because Chicago's got Cleveland, which obviously we know the Packers lost to, but that should be a win, all things considered, as they lose to the Tennessee Titans yesterday, this weekend for Chicago. And, Green Bay heads to the team with the second longest winning streak in the National Football League as they head to Denver to take on the Broncos on Sunday. Now, the Packers are favored in that game. They are 2-point favorites. So we will see how that plays out. But an interesting game coming up Sunday for both of these teams, but especially the Packers, as Packers-Broncos, another good measuring stick game of sorts, as the Broncos are viewed as one of the favorites to come out of the AFC, according to Pottawatomie Sportsbook, bet above the rest at Pottawatomie. And the Packers, well, they have the third best odds of any team to win the Super Bowl, behind only the LA Rams. Or actually, they're tied for second now, aren't they? They jumped.
Can I go to my Twitter account? I know you have notifications sent.
I do.
Look at the tweet I just quote tweeted. It's my Luke Musgrave, where I said the catch that wasn't a catch. I said the sport would be better off if plays like this were ruled catches. And some guy sent me the grainiest. The most illegible
Bruder film. What are we doing?
I don't know where the ball is in this picture.
And so you just said, ha ha ha, great shot.
I mean, what's that? That's what. Get your fan base, have a chat. This doesn't look pretty. You guys are embarrassing yourselves. and want you to know. And I think more highly. You have a good head coach now.
I have good vision. I can see the ball on the ground.
You can't be this type of fan base.
I can see it on the ground.
Here, give me a second here, and I can get this put onto the stream.
Everyone on this program wears glasses.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Great vision.
Just saying.
Yeah.
This, you're better than this. You have one of the best play callers in all the NFL. You have a great offensive line, a great run game. You can't be sending the grainiest 8-bit picture my way and being like, look it.
I think that's
incomplete.
So evident.
It was a good screen grab. Shout out Tyler. It takes good effort to time it up like that where you could see the ball on the ground.
Before we get back to the grainy photo that when Hunter has it ready for us.
I got it right now.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Pull it up. Yeah, you can see nothing.
I think when Hunter downloaded it, it got worse.
Oh,
because I can see it better.
It's
on my
fault. Here, I'll zoom in now.
When's the last time you guys updated Twitter?
I think he's implying the hand that's under the ball, his right. I believe he's trying to say that dark image there is the ball on the ground. If you know what I'm saying,
see
two white gloves. There's the one on top and the one on bottom. But he's clearly cradling the ball.
I love definitive evidence, right? Like, would this hold up in the court of law?
No.
It's so good.
It's a sad state of Tyler. Tyler, I'm going to forgive you this one time.
Tyler,
that's
keep
it.
Fighting. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep going to war.
All right. Dr. Denver Dan. Denver is much better than your station is selling. They have an elite defense. When did I misspell? I said they had the second longest winning streak in the NFL, and the Packers are 2-point favorites. I don't think I'm not dispelling the fact that they're a good team. I think they are a good team.
Dr. Denver Dan, he started off hot. I was a big fan.
Uh-oh.
He's a sea chatter now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take him or leave him.
Wow.
Yeah. Step it up.
I'll keep him.
I'd love that he's here. I want him to bring it better. The Packers are favored by 1.5. Tausch has been talking about since the schedule release that game's going to be tough. We all recognize how good that defense is. We all recognize how difficult it is to play at Mile High Stadium. All those things factor in. The Packers are 1.5-point favorites. That is telling you there's basically no difference between these two teams at their home.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Do they seem like a team ripe to lose after, what is it, 10 in a row they've won now? Yeah, probably. But anybody can lose to that team, as evidenced by their record.
Yeah, correct. Anybody can. And the Packers certainly might. I don't think they're going to win out.
And it's been a while since the Packers laid an egg.
Yeah. Maybe this here's me being optimistic. Maybe those days are behind them.
Could be. But would you be shocked if we saw an egg game in Denver? I wouldn't.
I'd
be disappointed.
Can I say this?
So, you're always shocked by an egg?
No, that's actually not what I was going to say. Rude, but probably also fair. So as we were driving home last night, I'm sitting there, I'm listening to music, I'm jamming out, I'm thinking about the Packers, I'm looking at schedules and box scores and some of the other games that went on in the NFL yesterday, Joshy. And I thought to myself, Super Bowl's back on. Super Bowl's so back on for Green Bay. Now, again, I still remain with the opinion that without Tucker Kraft, it is certainly going to make your lives harder to win the Super Bowl. But with the way Jordan Love is playing and with some of the pieces on this defense and with all of our faith seemingly restored in their head coach and play caller in Matt LaFleur, maybe not all the way, but certainly more than it was a couple of weeks ago, and being as wide open as the NFL is, I'm really not afraid of the Packers playing anyone at this point.
No.
And that's what makes the Denver game fun, because Denver is a really good team who has won a million games in a row and has a really good defense and will likely be able to, in some capacity, slow down Jordan Love and the Packers offense on Sunday. But nobody in the NFL really scares me as a Packers fan right now. And that makes me go, uh-oh, my expectations are going through the roof very fast, and the Super Bowl is back on.
But the reason I was so low on the Packers is because that's where my expectations have been all season. And the reason those close games and those disappointing losses affected me to that degree. The good thing, though, is there was a perfect opportunity in this game when Jordan Love threw that improbable, confusing interception where he just threw it to the chest of the defender.
Dude, he kind of does this, and he does. He's done it a lot less this year. Obviously, that's only his fourth interception of the year. But he has like
he throws the worst interception you've ever seen.
Well it's gonna be yes, but it's. I'm gonna compare it to a Brewer, and you're gonna figure out very quickly who I'm about to compare him to. He reminds me of Jacob Mizorowski sometimes.
Yes,
where like Miz will give up that leadoff home run, and then he'll settle in and be fine.
I think the same thing that allows Jordan to move past bad plays is the same thing that creates the bad plays. It's like a total nonchalant. I can make any throw I want to because I'm that talented, which is generally the case. He's usually right about that, but that leads to, and his perception, I mean, what was it? Rex Ryan saying, like, I don't trust this guy. I don't trust a guy who has only 3 interceptions and like 20 touchdowns. Okay, bro. You clearly watched like one game and were disappointed by his performance. And then you've copy pasted that to your perception of him since then. And the thing that makes it, people have that perception is largely because it's the most head-scratching interception you've ever seen. And then he comes out and then just is nearly perfect after that.
Yeah, you're right. Spot on.
Still only 4 interceptions.
Still only 4, but a couple of them, actually, what, three of the four?
3 of them.
3 of the 4. You go, what are we doing here?
Yes, correct.
You just can't take into account how bad the interceptions are as to whether or not he's a good quarterback. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, but when he does, you just have to accept it's going to be a
bad. Hold
on,
Josh. Actually, I think I have to retread that statement.
I was trying to say something nice.
Well, hold on.
I know. That's why it took my breath away.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking of the 4 interceptions. I think all 4 of them are really bad.
I'm having a hard time remembering the 4th.
Cincinnati?
Okay, yes.
Cincinnati is the first drive. It was similar to what happened yesterday.
Yep.
They were in the red zone and you threw an interception.
Correct. Yes.
And then obviously Carolina and Cleveland, those were big ones. And then yesterday. Now, the ones against Cincinnati and Chicago didn't really make a huge difference.
No.
But the ones
the one in Carolina where you said it was a punt even though it was first down.
I said that?
No, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, it was like a punt. It's like, well, it was arm first punt. Down.
he strictly meant that from a field position standpoint, obviously. Right. But yes, it was first down, not third. So it was not a punt. But nonetheless. So Denver has won 10 in a row. And we'll talk, obviously, more about them later in the week because I want to get to Will's week and what we missed in just a second. But Denver's won 10 in a row. But the last few weeks haven't been as sexy as maybe that would indicate, right? A 24-17 win over Vegas yesterday. But the week prior, it took overtime for them to beat Washington.
It was Sunday night. It almost took overtime for them to win yesterday, too.
Oh, I didn't watch the game, so yeah. I don't know. But 24-17 win for them yesterday. But against Washington, that was on Sunday night, and it was just a chaotic, overtime, really weird game that ultimately led to them winning. And they almost lost. They almost blew that game. Their win streak almost came to an end against a not very good Washington team. So,
yeah, Bo Nix is just not. He hasn't taken the step forward everyone expected him. He's not as good as he was last year.
He was really good last year, like especially for rookie standards.
Yes, correct. But he was kind of doing smoke and mirror, Sean Payton style offense, where he isn't given as much free reign as a Jordan Love is. Where he's not attacking downfield. I was looking for it here. There's a pass chart of his because he had 176 yards passing yesterday, but he completed like 28 passes or something absurd, and none of them traveled more than like 11 yards downfield. It's all short, intermediate in front of you, easy, just drop back, hit your guy, dink and dunk offense stuff. And if that team is pushed and he has to be more aggressive, that's where they run into trouble.
Yeah, fair. All right. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. In his cheese head.
Oh, baby.
This is going to hit like something, man. Whew. Will Summers gives his best Chris Berman impression in my cheese head that he is wearing and leads us through. Will Summers, weekend.
I want to look at him the whole time.
Let's go to Green Bay, where Chicago came to town for the big game. As it was the Chicago Steel taking on the Green Bay Gamblers in a USHL hockey battle at the Rush Center on Saturday night. A massive tilt for both teams late in the first period. An Adam Timm faceoff win led to a David Rosenthal gloveside snapshot that gave the Gamblers a 1-0 lead. Goal! Just over a minute later, Luke Guechler beat the goalie with a backhand deke with a steal on the board and tie it at 1.
That.
1 minute and 44 seconds into the second, the Gamblers reclaimed the lead when Cruz Martin found Oliver McKinney in the slot to make it 2-1. Chicago answered when Timo Dyer fired a backdoor pass to Alec Kalbeck, who deflected it home to tie the game 2-2. obviously know to pronounce all these names because all these players are very notable hockey players. Midway through the period, the Steel took
their
first
lead. They're all like 16, aren't
they? As Wyatt Harris' point shot was tipped in by Tobias Oman for a 3-2 advantage. But Green Bay responded quickly. Zach Wooten.
He's really doing the whole thing?
On a 2-on-1 and fired the glove side to even the game at 3-3. Early in the third, Timo Kazda ripped a shot under the bar to put Chicago back in front. 4-3. Bar down. Green Bay tied it again when Gino Carcone jabbed a rebound across the line to make it 4-4. But just 21 seconds later.
What a game. This is a barn burner.
Marco Senerchia finished a perfect feed from below the goal line to restore the Steel lead at 5-4. But hold on. We're not done yet, ladies and gentlemen.
No?
With 3
really?
Minutes and 23 seconds remaining, Owen Bjugsson floated a knuckleballing puck from the point that dropped over the glove to tie the game 5-5 and force overtime. But overtime wouldn't be enough as it would take a shootout. Tobias Oman scored first for Chicago, but Green Bay got back-to-back goals from Gavin Katz and Zach Wooten, securing a 6-5 Gamblers win. And
what
then on
game.
Sunday, the Packers beat the Bears. With your Wills Weekend Review, I'm Will Summers. 2-0 weekend for Green Bay.
Oh. That Gamblers game, what a barn burner.
Yeah, it was
do we know where the Steel wearing their Taylor Swift sweaters that they're auctioning off?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh.
Probably not in the road. That's probably a home thing.
I do want to say one thing.
I just saw the TikTok about it.
Good bit. Good job, Will. I expect another on Wednesday of the actual Packers game.
Yeah.
We can't let him off the hook. He's been trying to take off that damn cheese head at every opportunity.
He skips Will's weekend in review.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
We have a classic case of insubordination on our hands.
A classic case?
Classic.
I think I did my job. I entertained you guys with a thrilling matchup between
Chicago. That was a heck of a game.
Between Chicago and Green Bay and Green Bay.
You did, but the whole thing about this is you also have to go through the pain of your team losing.
It is kind of crazy that they played each other in Green Bay this weekend.
You think they did it on purpose?
Weekend. Across the street from Lambeau Field, yeah.
Kind of wild.
Maybe they think, hey, if this is happening, maybe we can get some dual action. Some fans will be like, hey, let's go to the Gamblers and I don't steal game.
So the Gamblers are popular in Green Bay, but again, Green Bay is not the size of Chicago.
No.
I've never heard of the Steel. That's why I did this.
Oh, really? You have never?
No.
And you grew up in the Chicago area, so that's fascinating.
They're juniors, right?
Yeah, we got two minor USHL. League teams.
So that's like 16, 17, 18-year-olds that haven't gone to college
yet.
Yeah,
it's our version of juniors in Canada, but much less talented.
Matthew chimes in.
No disrespect to those players.
There's a little bit of disrespect.
Matthew chimes in. Will's weekend review was an L, just like the Bears.
Wow.
Holy crap, that was good. How do you think of that?
It's time now for What We Missed and What We Learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced handcrafted award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Rums, gins, whiskeys, vodkas, brandies, all the in-betweens, made locally, affordable, in Door County, and they are the best available statewide, wherever you're at, Stevens Point, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and all the in-betweens. They have you covered, as well as a huge list of unique cocktail recipes on their website. Festive season, baby. The holidays are coming. Check out that huge list of unique cocktail recipes. Ho, ho, ho. Festive cocktail recipes on their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. That is DoorCountyDistillery.com.
Moving forward, I'd like you to get more into Kris Kringle when you do the whole
thing. Ho, ho,
yes.
Ho.
Yes. Yes. That's the Christmas spirit I want.
Okay. I understand. I can
or maybe we can have like... back there, he'll have a Christmas, a Santa actually doing it, and you can just dub it in. You call for it, and Santa will say, ho, ho, ho. We like Santa on this program.
We should get Santa on this program. Like, there's got to be
I mean, it's his busy season.
I understand that, but there's got to be a Santa. You know, he might be making some pit stops in Milwaukee.
Should
over
we
the
make
weeks.
A naughty and nice list for everyone on the program?
Well, I think that'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it?
I mean... I'm saying all the things that would, like a Venn diagram, and see who's...
Are you a big Christmas guy?
No, not at all.
I would not have gotten that read from the last 60 seconds.
I'm just trying to have some fun. Get a little festive.
I like it. Will, you been naughty or nice?
Christmas is canceled.
Okay, what about what we missed and what we learned? Is that also canceled?
I'll just put it out there that I'm a loser. Just want to say that. Also, Notre Dame got snubbed from the college football playoff, which I thought was interesting.
No, they didn't. But okay.
Well, You never let me finish. Okay.
She said.
Notre
come
Dame,
on,
Miami.
Joshy. Come on. Come on.
It's Mr. Irrelevant. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Peace.
Oh, man. Tough day for Will. Tough day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the Packers win 28-21 over the Bears on Sunday. That will do it for us today. We'll be back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. If this is your first time joining us, appreciate you being here. Make sure you hit subscribe. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. Or if you're more of a podcast listener, just search Mr. Irrelevant. We do this three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and, of course, the all-new customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. All right, Joshy, final words. Go ahead.
Go, Pack, go.
The Bears still suck. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Peace.
Suck it, Will.